You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. Up next, the secret world of soil. Researchers at Harvard say they have isolated hundreds of soil bacteria that can grow using antibiotics for food. Doesn't sound like good news, does it? The scientists say many of the bacteria are closely related to human pathogens, and the soil could be an unrecognized reservoir where the bacteria can pick up the tools to become resistant to antibiotics. Doesn't sound so good, I don't think. Let's talk about it. And here to talk about it is George M. Church. He's director of the Personal Genome Project and a professor of genetics at Harvard Med School in Cambridge. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Church.
Hi. Thanks a lot, Ira.
How'd you go about finding these germs?
Well, we kind of stumbled into it. We were really interested in finding ways of engineering bacteria to go from agricultural waste, leaves, stems, and so forth, into biofuels. And we felt that a good source of genetic information might be present in the soil, because the soil is where all the agricultural waste typically goes. And we thought that, well, maybe the plants have some toxins in there that the bacteria might be resistant to. Mm-hmm. And so we started looking at antibiotics as kind of a worst-case scenario for toxins, and didn't really expect the bacteria to be able to handle them. We expected them to be able to eat the agricultural waste with some effort, but we were surprised.
So they were eating the antibiotics instead of being killed by them.
Yes, exactly.
How many different antibiotics did you feed them?
Well, in this study, we tried 18, and it was very common to find single bacterial cells that could handle 17 of those 18, a vast number of them.
Wow, they're the commonly used ones.
And commonly used ones of all different types, synthetic antibiotics as well as naturally occurring antibiotics.
Now, why do we think this is happening?
Well, So my colleagues and I, some people are surprised by this, but to some extent you can rationalize it by the bacteria have a vast potential to eat all kinds of things. You know, there's some bacteria that will help clean up oil spills. Almost nothing stays in the soil forever. But the scientists that work on antibiotics and the scientists that work on soil bioremediation, as it's called, where you process chemicals in general, typically are not working at the same time on the same thing. So they're probably organisms that just have ability to degrade all kinds of substances. Mm-hmm. It's still very surprising.
1-800-989-8255 is our number, talking about bacteria that eat antibiotics. Now, these would seem to be super bacteria that we would be fearful about them getting out of the soil, I would think.
Well, they're super in two senses. One is that they're resistant to multiple antibiotics, almost all of them, and they're super in the sense that they're resistant to and eat, and therefore clean out the antibiotics. So we don't necessarily have to be fearful in the sense that we have ongoing research to see how much this impacts human and clinical biology. But until we have that, mm-hmm. we can just hope that we're ahead of the curve for once, that for once we actually see a phenomenon before it actually is impacting us. Because it had been impacting us in a clinical sense,
yeah.
We would have known about it by now.
Are you thinking perhaps that this is where those bacteria go to grow and multiply and then get back into a hospital or an infection?
I think it's really too early to say. I mean, that's the next stage in this research, which is going quite quickly. But I think that if this kind of very high resistance level and ability to catabolize drugs were common, people would have seen it before in the clinics, although you could make a similar argument they would have seen it before in the soil. But I think what we're going to see is that the pathogenic organisms have different ways of being resistant to drugs at lower levels of drugs that are used in the clinics, not these very high levels that are needed for eating.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the Personal Genome Project. What are you doing there?
Well, these two topics intersect in a certain sense. In the Personal Genome Project, we're trying to collect 100,000 volunteers to connect the dots between their genes, their environment, and their diseases or their non-medical traits, things that make them individuals. And a big part of their environment is their microbial environment. So we're trying to, which is really part of their body in a certain sense. And so we're collecting information about what they inherited from their mother and their father, and then what they are inheriting from their environment to help make the predictions better about the diseases they're going to get and the preventions that they can take.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to look at the bacteria that colonize these people?
That's correct. We're already doing that. Hmm. Bacteria and viruses and their body's response to them.
How many bacteria are in each of us?
Well, there are more bacterial cells in each of us than there are human cells. That's surprising to some people.
No kidding.
there's quite a diversity of them. Most of your human cells are fairly similar in terms of their inherited DNA, but the bacterial cells are almost as diverse as the ones we were looking at in the soil in this study. Many, many different kinds that can survive both in the body, and some of them can survive outside the body as well.
So do they change who they are, or they rotate in and out, or they?
There's a little bit of rotation depending on what you eat and whether you're taking antibiotics, for example, can change their composition. But a lot of them are inherited from your first 2 years of life, and the ones in your mouth, and a lot of them in your gut, they just latch on and they're there for life.
So depending on where you spent those first 2 years of your life makes
a big difference.
Could that explain immunity then?
It's part of it. It's part of the story. Some of it has to do with the genes that you inherited from your mother and your father, mm-hmm. and the organisms you were exposed to, and mm-hmm. your immune system.
Mm-hmm. So you want to categorize and catalog all of these bacteria in this project?
There are projects that the NIH is, and internationally, for cataloging. Our project is more aimed at moving from the catalog with new technologies into a clinical setting. In other words, are there functional assays that we can do, like this one that we started talking about on antibiotics, mm-hmm. which goes beyond catalogs to kind of like which ones will really actually impact your health, and how can we make a very low-cost delivery system so everybody can have access to it.
So you're collecting 100,000 volunteers. Where do we send these people who want to
sign
up?
Well, if they want some more information, they can go to personalgenomes.org. It's a nonprofit set up specifically to try to bring down the costs and make this research available to a lot of people. And we're trying to get people feeling like they're actually co-investigators, not just guinea pigs that are objects of study, that we're really trying to get people knowledgeable enough so that they know what they're getting into when they become research subjects.
Love me, love my bacteria.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Church, very much.
Thank you.
George M. Church is director of the Personal Genome Project and a professor of genetics at Harvard Med School.